Rector and Vice Chancellor Professor Russell Bachman, family and friends of Dr. Fancel Sabbat, faculty members, students, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It is an honor for me to be here with you tonight and to have been asked to deliver the second Frederick Fancel Sabbat honorary lecture. Being here this evening is auspicious on two counts. The first is when I chose the topic of my speech, I did so because it resonated with the vision of the Frederick Fancel Sabbat Institute, our hosts here this evening. And I'm delighted to hear that last night there was such an intense debate around the issue and the topic of active citizenship and how we get involved in making this wonderful country of ours a better place to live in for all of us. The Institute states that its primary focus is, and I quote, to develop young leaders as active citizens that can act as agents of change to build our country and be thought leaders in our society. It is a goal that echoes the beliefs and ideals of Dr. Fancel, epitomized that he remained devoted to until his untimely death 3 years ago this May. The theme I want to explore with you tonight has a great deal in common with the mission of the Institute. And the premise I want to set out is that active citizenry is a prerequisite for sustainable development. But before I do that, let me mention the second reason that being here with you tonight is important and opportune, certainly for me. Tomorrow is Freedom Day, the day on which we celebrate our freedom as a nation and commemorate the fact that on the 27th of April 1994, we held our first elections as a free and democratic country. As we remember that extraordinary day, I think it is appropriate that we ask ourselves, what more still needs to be done to fulfill our dreams of what a free and democratic country can and should deliver? We've come a long way in the past 19 years. The truth is, we are a radically different country. A new social reality has emerged since 1994. What Professor Jabulani Dabele calls the emerging genius of a complex people. We've made remarkable progress in putting the country on a sound financial footing, and we've set about tackling the racially skewed distribution patterns of our past. We've stabilized the economy and we've broadened access to services. Millions who were previously excluded have access to education, water, electricity, healthcare, housing, and social security. About 3 million more people are working today than in 1994. The poverty rate has declined and average incomes have grown steadily in real terms. But we still have a great deal more to do. There is widespread agreement that nearly two decades into democracy, we remain a highly unequal society where too many people live in poverty and too few work. Poverty is a reality for millions of South Africans. The South African Child Gauge of 2012 estimates that 6 out of 10 children go to bed hungry every night in our country. Unemployment is unacceptably high at nearly 25%. And our education system is producing unsatisfactory outcomes. And for the students who engaged with the NDP last night and read through the story of Tandi, you will have read the statistic that in 2010, only 15% of those who wrote matric achieved the average mark of 40% or more. But if you went onto the Department of Basic Education's website and read the education statistic report for 2011, out of the 225,034 learners who wrote mathematics in 2011, only 30% achieved 40% or more. And the same, more or less, the same percentage, more or less, applies to physical science. The average mark for accounting was only marginally higher, at around 35%. Pleasingly, the mark for history was 52.5%. So that's really something for us to be concerned about. Equally, the apartheid spatial divide continues to dominate our landscape. One of the consequences of that is that poor people live great distances from employment opportunities, making it very expensive to look for work. And what this means is that the legacy of apartheid continues to determine the life of opportunities of the vast majority of people. The result is that a large proportion of people feel the odds are stacked against them, that they are locked into a cycle of poverty, and that they cannot offer their children a better life. This is why we need to push harder to transform the economy and find ways to propel the country towards more sustainable development. I believe that we will not be able to achieve this unless we grasp fully what it means to take our rightful place as active citizens in building a fairer and more just society. Let me first set out what I mean by sustainable development. It is development that is driven by a resilient economic growth. But that growth, a growth that is inclusive to ensure that rising levels of inequality are reversed and that poverty is eradicated. And a growth that is greener and less environmentally damaging. Sustainable development also means making better use of the capabilities that we have, our people, our land, and our abundant resources. As the National Development Plan recognizes, we have not succeeded in translating political emancipation into economic well-being. We have not done enough to remold the economic landscape we inherited to build a more inclusive society. For too many South Africans, opportunity is still determined by birth, not by ability, education, and hard work. We have yet to realize a society that builds on the capabilities of our people. Capabilities lie at the heart of the connection between active citizenship and development. Capabilities include social opportunities ranging from education, healthcare, public transport, as well as social security and safety nets. They are the drivers of sustainable growth, as they are the enablers that give individuals the wherewithal to own their lives. Clearly, the state has a responsibility to develop the necessary capabilities for its citizens. But it cannot do it on its own. A complex interplay of actors as well as actions are required, which is where we as citizens have a role to play. Amartya Sen, the renowned development economist and Nobel Prize winner, writing about citizenship, says, "Citizenship is a process of becoming, the result of involvement in the give and take, rough and tumble of governance processes over a period of time. It is about building recognition of what your rights are and how they can be mobilized in different ways to make concrete change to the lives of individuals and communities." That Sen's view of what citizenship is. The question for us is, how do we respond to this challenge? How do we take our rightful place as agents of change and as active participants in creating a new social reality? Sen suggests that the onus is on us to to build recognition of what our rights are, and once we have done that, to make sure we demand of ourselves, our neighbours, our politicians, the rights we believe we can lay claim to. For SEN, this includes social as well as economic rights. But as he correctly points out, this is a process rather than an event. This is complex and takes time because every situation demands a response tailored to meet local conditions. I believe this is a task that we as a nation are up to. We all recognize that we need to take a step change if we are going to propel our country forward and replace inequality with greater opportunity, poverty with prosperity. The power to achieve that step change lies with us. I sincerely believe that becoming active citizens will unleash the creativity and innovation that will help us propel South Africa forward. I believe that by becoming agents of change, we will be able to break through the constraints we have been bequeathed and overcome them. If we harness our energies and insights collectively, I believe we can find solutions and break the cycle of inequality and poverty. We have a blueprint, a guide to the kind of society we want to create. The foundational values are to be found in our constitution, which enshrines the principles of fairness, transparency, honesty, and truth. Our vision, as is set out in the constitution, is a society where opportunity is not determined by race or birthright, and just as importantly, where citizens accept that they have both rights and responsibilities. The mistake we often make is that we are more vocal about our rights and pay less attention to our responsibilities. In addition, in exercising our rights, the temptation for all of us is to place the burden of responsibility on our leaders. But the responsibility to lead lies with us as well. And this is what I mean by active citizenship. It is not something we, all of us, collectively and each one of us independently can opt out of. I want to conclude by saying that I'm not suggesting for a minute that active citizenship is a panacea for all the challenges that we face in our country. The National Development Plan identifies 6 action points that it believes are necessary if we are going to engineer a turnaround in our country. They are uniting all South Africans around a common program, bringing about faster economic growth, higher investment, and greater labour absorption, focusing on key capabilities of people and the state, building a capable and developmental state, encouraging strong leadership throughout society to work together to solve problems. The 6th topic is the topic of our conversation tonight, promoting active citizenry to strengthen development, democracy, and accountability. By singling out one, I'm not suggesting that the other 5 areas are less important. On the contrary, all 6 are interdependent. That's what resilience is about. And they need to be approached with equal vigor. I have addressed active citizenship and development tonight only because I believe it is a subject we need to debate and understand more so that we can engage more actively to achieve the step change we need as a country. I believe we all have a part to play in making sure we realize the vision of a social order that is more equitable and where poverty is eradicated. We can do this, but only if we hold one another accountable to this vision. and we set it as a benchmark against which we can measure each other. If we do this, I believe we will bequeath our children and their children a very different country to the one we inherited. And this country deserves that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.